Good morning, everyone.
Welcome.
Welcome to the Shore Community Church. I'm Jamie, I'm minister here. It's really wonderful to welcome you here, whether it's your first time here or your 10,000th time here. I don't know how many years you'd have had to have been coming for this to be your 10,000th visit. Julie will know, because it's probably... I mean, she's good at maths, not that she's been here a really long time. I think I got out of that one, it's all right. I've missed taking the mick out of you. I know. It's been ages, hasn't it? You shouldn't sit right in front of me. We're going to worship the Lord with song and word, and Simon's going to be sharing the word with us later. That is right, isn't it, Simon? Awesome. I haven't got my dates mixed up. Excellent. So we're going to worship. If you'd like to stand as we sing together, please do. If you'd rather sit, that's absolutely fine, however you're comfortable. Let's worship the Lord. We just sing of how great our Lord is. How much he's done for us. How much he loves us. His amazing, amazing grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that tore my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, his mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, his mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, his mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine, will be forever.
sing a song today that might be new to some of you, but it's very easy to pick up. So we'll just go through it. Join in when you get the words. It's very simple.
I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together. Now every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you.
Sing that again. There's nothing.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you.
Okay, we're going to go back to the top. Start to that first verse again. Really simple. I search
the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together. Now every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing, nothing is better than you. Now I'm not afraid. My failures and flaws, Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. Now there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you.
There's nothing,
oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Morning to dancing, you give beauty for ashes, you turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can.
Let's sing that again with a little bit of enthusiasm.
You turn morning to dancing,
yeah.
You give beauty for ashes,
amen.
Turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can.
Graves into gardens.
You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one. to highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
There's nothing better than you, Lord. Thank
Hallelujah.
You, Lord.
Julie.
Is it switched on?
Hello, hello, hello. Hey. Oh, good morning, everybody. Warm welcome to you online or in here. Just for the record, I may have been in the church 10,000 times, but I definitely haven't been here for 10,000 Sundays. So I just want to highlight a couple of things this morning in the notices. They do go out on a weekly email, so you should have all got them. And if you don't get the email, then do ask Carla and she will add you to the list. So just a couple of things to remind you of. At the moment, Tesco's have got Treasure Box of one of their community groups that they're supporting. So if you shop in Tesco's, do make sure that you ask for a counter so you can drop it in the box, because they don't always just give it to you. If you want to volunteer at the Christmas lunch, have a chat with Carla. And if you want to be in the church's nativity procession, have a chat with Jamie. And if you're interested in the women's group, have a chat with Sylvia. So I just want to highlight something that we're doing in the church next month. So how many people have heard of Kintsugi Hope? Yay. So for those of you that don't know, Kintsugi Hope is a charity that was formed by somebody called Patrick Reagan. And their strapline is, it's okay not to be okay. And it was actually formed from after he had a mental breakdown. And his story is well documented and he shares this. But he realised that particularly in faith circles, it's often not okay to be okay, because we're expected to have it all together and present as be good. And sometimes people have told, you know, tell other people it's a lack of faith if you're you haven't got it all together. And the message that he's promoting is actually, it's normal if you haven't got it all together, which is quite a relief, isn't it, really? Because I doubt if any of us ever have it all together all the time. So I'm really pleased that we're actually going to be part of his upcoming tour. This is the third tour that they've done, and this one's called Brighter Days. And it's a mixture of, there'll be some worship and there'll be some interviews, and Patrick Reagan will be here and a lady called Lynette Brooks, who has got a long history in psychology and counselling. She's been involved in Waverley Abbey. And the evening really is for anyone. It's anyone that wants to be a bit more informed about mental health, anyone that's supporting anyone that's going through things differently, anyone that wants some tips about how to manage your own mental well-being. It's very low-key, so if you wanted to bring someone with you that doesn't normally come to church, then that would be a really good evening for them to come along as well. Now, Patrick's done a short video just as a little promo, which we're going to show now.
Hope, and I'm so chuffed that your church has decided to host Brighter Days. And Brighter Days is the title of my new book, 12 Steps to Strengthen Your Wellbeing. Now, we know that our modern living is taking its toll on our mental and emotional health. So we wanted to design something, an event, if you like, that people of faith and people of no faith can come to, where we can talk about some of the biggest issues of our time: anxiety, perfectionism, resilience, healthy relationships. The show should be of high quality, amazing music, interviews, chat, film. I've been searching for something to invite people from outside church to for ages now. And I know that sometimes we have these big evangelistic events, but if I'm really honest with you, I'm not always comfortable inviting my non-Christian friends to them. But this, 100%, I feel like I could invite anyone to it. And I want to encourage you, get your friends, get your family, come along to Brighter Days. It'll be fun, it'll be interactive, and I think it'll help as well with the things that we're facing in our lives.
Thank you. So you can see that we're part of a tour, and there's some quite big churches in there. They kicked the tour off yesterday in Causeway Vineyard in Ireland with a few hundred people there. So it's a real privilege to be part of this tour. So if you want to come, that would be great. You can buy tickets on Church Suite, and it would really help us if you brought them sooner rather than the day before, just so that we've got an idea of numbers. And if you want to know any more, then ask me. I'm just going to ask Jo to come up now. She's just going to share something.
I just wanted to share with you about some of our Chinese community. We have quite a few Chinese who are involved in this church in some way or another. And one of them is now proving that there's nothing better than Jesus, because she passed away a couple of days ago. She went back to China and battled with cancer for quite a while. Her name is Amy, and we won't pray for her, because she's with Jesus and thoroughly enjoying being with him. But her son is 16 years old, and he's doing his GCSEs. He's out there at the moment with her, but he'll be coming back, of course. So and her husband as well is here, so is there, and he'll be coming back as well. So I'm going to pray for them, and would you pray for them as well? Mm. So Lord Jesus, thank you. Good, yeah, that's right. So we're going to pray together for someone whose mummy's gone to heaven. Okay, so we're just going to pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we know that Amy's with you. But we pray for Eric, and we pray for Wen, her husband. Thanking you, Lord, that they're in your hands, and their future's in your hands. We pray for your comfort, and we pray that they will see light in the journey, and that you will guide them as when they come home as to what to do and where to go, and that you will provide for them. But we pray your blessing on them and the rest of the family there in China. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Joe. We're just going to take up the offering now. If you're not a regular member of the church, we don't expect you to give. If you want to give, you can give as the offering baskets come by. You can also give by standing order or by tapping a machine in the lounge if you want to give another way. And I just want to welcome Rachel this morning, who's with us from Mozambique. Madagascar. Oh, sorry, Madagascar. and close, begins with M. And Jo's just going to interview her now so we can find out a bit more about her work.
Well, they're both in Africa. So this is my friend Rachel. I've known Rachel for getting on for 20 years. And for the last 10 of those years, she's been living in Madagascar as a missionary. And I just thought it'd be really great for her to tell us a bit about what she's doing out there and encourage us, really. So, yeah, tell us what you're doing.
Okay, so when I first arrived in Madagascar, I helped with somebody else's orphanage. And then I had a dream from God and in the dream I could see in my heart the exact location in Madagascar, which was right on the west coast. And so I went there and started work, which includes an orphanage, a feeding program for children who are hungry and maybe don't get a hot meal every day, food for vulnerable families. We've got a lot of grandmas and granddads who single-handedly look after their grandchildren. We've got a schooling program, And we've also started building houses for widows and grandparents looking after their children so they don't have become homeless because they can't pay the rent. So those are the few of the things we're doing at the moment.
How did you hear to go and do that? What did God say to you? Because it feels like Rachel used to live in London. She was at my church doing normal things, I guess. But how did you know to go out, and what did he tell you to do?
Yeah, so I just went to Madagascar to start with as a 3-week mission trip, and I'd done many 3-week mission trips in different areas of the world. But I did feel like God spoke to me when I came back from this mission trip that he said, Rachel, I really want you to go back to Madagascar and learn how to run a baby house in a third world nation. And so I went to speak to my pastors in London, and they really got such a witness that this was from God. And so I went back and served for a year in a baby house there. And then a year or so later, I had the dream about pioneering my own work on the west coast of Madagascar. And that's been going on. It's in its 8th year at the moment. So, yeah.
So I know there's some really exciting stories of how God moves, and I'm really encouraged. And we've got some photos that you could talk us through maybe, but perhaps you could tell us about some of the ways God's worked and multiplied and done amazing things.
Yes, so we've seen many miracles of multiplication. Like one day God told me to buy 500 toothbrushes to take to some children at a rubbish dump that we went to every Friday. And so I bought them on the Monday. And then the Tuesday, God said to me, okay, give 100 away to the children that the village feeds. So I took 100 out and gave them all away. And then the next day, God said to me, give 100 out to the families that we're feeding. And so I gave them out. And me and my friend, we just looked at the bag, and it was like, it didn't seem to have changed. And so we took them all out and we counted them, and it was still the full number. And just this last few months in Madagascar, there was one day at the village feed for that particular Tuesday, like so many more children arrived than what we'd cooked for. And so I was in the room doing the Bible story with the children, but our cook, she suddenly got this number of how many children that she had to make plates for. And she looked at the bowl of rice and the beans, and there was certainly not enough. And so she just kept calling out to Jesus. And as she put the rice and beans in each bowl, she said, help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. And it got multiplied. There was enough for every child to leave with a full tummy. And it was so precious. And like with these miracles, you just see the heart of God, that he multiplies what you got so that those people, those children all needed a meal that day. And he made sure that they got one. And it's really, really precious and beautiful.
Rachel told me that story at breakfast. And one of the things I love about it is that the cook hasn't known Jesus for very long. She's not like a long-term Christian that's really strong in her faith. She's somebody that came to work as a cook. And she's seen the things that God's been doing in Madagascar. And she's seen like toys multiplied and toothbrushes. And in that moment of need, she called out and God did it for her and for all of the other kids. But thank you. It's really great. Now, Rachel's here for the morning. She'll be here in coffee if anybody wants to chat to her to find out more about what she's doing. And if you want to help, prayer is the most important thing, to pray for Rachel and as the Holy Spirit reminds you, because they actually go through quite a lot of difficulty and hardship of floods and storms and lack, and all the work she does is funded by people that give. So if you would like to give to the work, she's would chat to you about how you can do that. But yeah, is there anything else you wanted to add?
The children who live in our orphanage, when they first arrived, they'd never heard a Bible story. And so we had the privilege of gently introducing Jesus to them. And some of those children have been with us for about 6 years now. And now they've really, really trust Jesus. They believe Jesus. They worship Jesus. And some of our older children have actually started to preach the gospel to the children who come to the village feed. And they're actually leading children to give their lives to Jesus. They're standing up in front of their school friends and they're preaching the gospel of Jesus. And so that's just really beautiful to start to see some of the fruit that's going to come from all the years we've been serving and sowing into that place. And it's very, very precious. And just thank God for that. Yeah. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's just been such a privilege to hear some of those stories over this weekend again, and just get. I mean, Rachel's very humble, but the scale of what they do. I mean, you have like 13 kids in the orphanage, don't you? But they support 300 kids, is it, to go to school locally in their community? I mean, imagine the impact. And it's not a huge town or village, is it? But it's, no, and 14 kids you're putting through university as well. I mean, it's just life-changing, amazingly life-changing in one of the poorest countries in the world, isn't it? So just fantastic. I think it's time the kids to head on out. So children, we bless you, we pray for you, and those who will be caring for you this morning and teaching you, have a fantastic morning. We bless you in Jesus' name. So have great fun, Kids Church team. And I'm going to invite Sandy. Wave at me, Sandy. Sandy is going to come and share with us about CAP. It's a lot of information this morning, isn't it? But soak it up, because there's so much good stuff that God is doing. And we are deeply involved in CAP, as Sandy will share. And this is a really valuable part of what our church does in this community. Go for it, Sandy.
Brilliant. Thank you. Actually, it's brilliant listening to Rachel, because there are some similarities. Well, it's not quite as big as that. But anyway, we'll get to that bit. So apparently today is CAP Sunday. Who knew? It wouldn't be in your diaries or anything like that. But all the churches who are involved in CAP across the UK are doing a little bit like this today. And it's really just to say, look, this is where we've gone over the year. This is what's been happening. And this is how you can help us over the next coming year. So CAP is Christians Against Poverty, and it's something that we at The Shore have been involved in since it was relaunched in Bognor in January. So we're working with five other churches in the area to support people who are in debt to become debt-free. So it's up there as about being compassion in action, and that's really what it is. So next slide, please. Thank you. So this is a picture of a massive crowd of people. I just wonder how many crowds of people we've been in. I hate being in crowds of people. But you may have been to football matches or rallies or music festivals or whatever. And it's really hard to grasp the numbers of people that are involved in these huge gatherings. But that picture just represents only a tiny proportion of those who are trapped in poverty in this country. According to the Joseph Rowntree Foundation, there's about 13.5 million people who are living in poverty in the UK today, which I just find really, really, really difficult. That's enough to fill over 150 Wembley stadiums. It's kind of mind-boggling, isn't it? Next one, thank you. So what CAP did was commissioned a YouGov poll during 2023. And you can see on here that 16 million people have been forced to skip meals recently due to cost. That there are 6 million who've gone without heat on a daily basis because of poverty. And it's really hard to know how to respond to those sorts of figures in a constructive way. But, next one please. We know from in Matthew where Jesus was trying to get away and be by himself, that all these people followed him, and he had compassion on those 5,000 when he saw the large crowd, and he healed the sick. And then, as Jesus does, he turns things upside down, doesn't he? And instead of Jesus doing, the disciples came and said that they wanted, they thought that these people needed to be fed. And so Jesus turned around to them and said, well, you do it. You feed these people. Which I would have found incredibly daunting. But anyway, they did. And that's just reminded me of some of the things that Rachel was saying in Mozambique, how wonderful that is still happening today. And the disciples took what they had and they multiplied it
and they witnessed a miracle. So that's amazing. Next one, please. Yeah, brilliant. So really, that's what CAP does. It takes what people have and it works with them to relieve their poverty. CAP wants to see people across the UK released from poverty, living with faith in Jesus and with hope for the future. And one way that they do that is by partnering with local churches like us to provide face-to-face holistic help. So the CAP manager works with a befriender from the local church, and we'll come back to who those people are. But they visit people in the community who are trapped in unmanageable debt, and they walk alongside them through that journey out of debt. Now, that might include providing emotional support. It might help them gather and understand paperwork. It might mean delivering an emergency food parcel. It might mean giving a fuel voucher. All sorts of different things that they might do to support that person and make it manageable for them, because it is a long-term thing that they're looking at. So while all that is going on, there's a team of debt advisors based in Bradford, and they negotiate with creditors on behalf of the clients, and they draw up a budget which enables them to eventually walk free from debt. And it's a budget that is manageable for that person. So every budget is going to be different, but they're working with the creditors to make that actually happen. So next one, please. So in Bognor, the partnership is, as you can see up there, Aldwick Baptist, Vineyard, Felper Methodist, St Wilfrid's, Kingsgate and ourselves. Since January, we have 19 clients at the moment. Seven of them have gone debt-free this year. I was talking to Liddy during the week, and I think she's really surprised. Liddy is the manager. She's really surprised at the circumstances that some of these people have found themselves in alongside their debt, that it's changed quite considerably since she did the same thing a few years ago. So there's lots of other stuff that people are having to deal with on top of their debt. So things like mental ill health, physical illness, abusive relationships, isolation and things like that. But she also says, although it's so hard and sad to see clients battling those issues, it's also good that they can offer love and support and signposting. So again, CAP will work with other agencies within Bognor. The next one. So what can we do to help? I talked about befrienders, and we have two befrienders at the shore. Helen, who is over there, wave. Thank you. And John Lex, who isn't with us this morning. But they journey with a CAP client. They are their friends, basically. They will support and they will encourage. And so we need to support Helen and John as they are supporting other people. They're in it for the long haul. It's not a quick fix by any means. So do support them and do encourage them. We can give financially. We already give financially through the money that you give on a Sunday morning. That helps to, and all the six churches contribute the same amount of money. And that helps provide Liddy Blunden, who's the manager, her salary, her costs and all the rest of it. And also pays goes towards some of the work that is done up in Bradford. So we contribute to that. So we are contributing. But if you wanted to contribute more, you're always welcome to do that. And there are some envelopes out in the foyer, but they are to help finance the head office. It's not a Bognor thing. If you want to support Bognor, then just keep going on the Sunday morning money. What else? We can pray. Obviously, we can pray. Please pray for Liddy, pray for Helen and for John and for the other befrienders who are amongst the other churches. But mostly, really, praying for those who have been brave enough to ask for help. As I say, it's a tough thing to do, but the joy at the end of it is pretty good to see. And the other thing that we want to do, just finally, is we would like to be able to give Christmas hampers to all of the clients linked with CAP at the moment, but particularly Helen and John's clients. And again, there are lists of food that we could provide out in the foyer, and there's a box where you can put them. But it would be lovely if all of you just gave one thing off that list. We would have more than enough. And if we have more than enough here, that's fine. It will go down to St Wilfrid's to give to the other clients. And if we have abundance of food down there, then we'll give it to Food Bank. So none of it will be wasted. But it would just be really good to be able to do that. So that's it, really. Thank you for your interest. Thank you for your support. If you want to know anything else, then, well, somebody else to talk to. You can talk to Helen or you can talk to me to add to the list. Thank you.
Thanks, Sandy. Just such an amazing work that you're doing with CAP and those befrienders and Liddy. Let's just keep them in our prayers. We're just going to worship together again a little bit more before Simon comes to share with us. So if you want to stand, then please do stand. If you'd rather sit, that's fine. I was just thinking of this song as I was listening to Sandy and thinking, you know, Jesus says, come to me, all who are thirsty. Whatever our needs are in life, whatever we're struggling with, you know, he is just an ocean of compassion. And we are his hands and feet. We put flesh and blood and thought and action on it, on that heart of love. All who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain, dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the way of his mercy. As deep cries out too deep, we sing, come Lord Jesus, come. Come Lord Jesus, heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the wave of his mercy. His deep cries out too deep, we sing, our community, Lord, over this world, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Over our families, Lord, over our friends. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Over every situation of pain and injustice, Lord, we cry, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Just maybe take a moment just to fix in your mind those things, situations that you're aware of, situation in your community, in your family, in the world, where we just cry, come Lord Jesus. Lord, we particularly pray for the situation in Israel and Gaza, Lord. Lord, we speak peace in the name of the Prince of Peace. We pray that the people of violence would be completely undone, and that the power of peace and reconciliation and love would reign in that land where you walked, Lord. Please do take a seat. I'm going to invite Simon to come up and share with us.
Just put my Hank Marvins on, and you say, who's Hank Marvin?
Well, it's great to be encouraged, isn't it? And Duncan over here, I was going back with Duncan on just last Sunday, and he said, "Are you coming to come along with me next week?" And I said, "No, I'm speaking." And he said, "Oh no." And I'm afraid all I've got is paper, notes, and a Bible, I'm afraid, to speak. So if you believe that dinosaurs were extinct, I can assure you they're not. It's 10 years since I spoke in this sort of context, and I thought, well, every 10 years I'll be able to choose my favourite book. And so I've chosen to look at a passage in Isaiah. Isaiah means the Lord saves. And I love this book. This is my favourite book in the Bible. And it's got everything. It's got everything. It's got social justice, 5 verse 7. And he, the Lord Almighty, looked for justice but saw bloodshed. For righteousness but heard cries of distress. And I think that's really pertinent when we think of what's happening today. How does God see what's happening? And also, there's God in his glory. I saw the Lord, chapter 6, high and lifted up. And there are the angels all around, and the glory of God is there. And then, amazingly, all those hundreds of years before, there's Jesus. His whole life is just spread out in that book. His birth, his life, his death. Chapter 53, the suffering servant. And his resurrection is there also. The whole of Jesus' life in a book written hundreds of years before. And so it is that I'd like to look at chapter 55. And so if you have a Bible, otherwise you'll just have to listen to me. There it is. Chapter 55 of Isaiah. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Isn't it? It's so relevant to what we've just heard, isn't it? In so many ways. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and feel your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree. Instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. Amen. So first of all, we have an invitation. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. Are we thirsty? Are you really thirsty for God? I don't know. As I get older, it's very easy to become more sort of satisfied with your lot. And you lose that thirst. You lose that hunger for more of God. And so sometimes we have to say, am I thirsty? Am I thirsty? Because the invitation here that God is giving us is for the thirsty. He says, come, you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. That's great, isn't it? You don't have to have money. There's no cost of living crisis here. What's made it possible?
We know Jesus has made it possible for us to come to God, to get to know him, to enjoy all that he wants to give to us. And it's interesting, we come to waters, and what do we get? We get wine, that speaks to me of enjoyment, and milk, that speaks of nourishment, without money and without cost, because Jesus has paid the cost. And there is endless delights as we get to know God for ourselves, as we satisfy that first. Poor old Mick Jagger got no satisfaction. But we have satisfaction guaranteed as we get to know him. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labour on what does not satisfy? You know, recreation is a great thing, isn't it? Recreation, things we do for our body to enjoy this life that God has given to us. But sometimes you think, do you know, this is a bit of a waste of time. I remember hearing one day of a person, there's a person, I think they're, it must be up north, because they go around all the league grounds, football grounds, in the north of England, in the league, and they want to note the different corner flags of those pitches. And you think, well, I don't know, is that useful? I don't know, is it? But there it is. But, you know, sometimes we just have to look at our lives and think, is this a waste of time? Could I be doing something better with it? Could I be getting to know God? Could I be satisfying my thirst for him? So there is that invitation. And, you know, God's word, so much in this passage is about God's word, isn't it? And you know, it's a funny thing, you know, when you spend time in God's word, something happens to you, how you are, how you think. I remember years ago, I was in a Christian community called Lee Abbey, and I was there, and I was given in 4 days to do 4 talks, as well as working in the garden. I was the gardener who made all the cucumbers bitter that year, I'm afraid. But there it was. So, I had to do, and it was Colossians. So I'm thinking that actually, if I'm asked in the next 10 years to speak again, I might do it on Colossians. So that's my second favourite book. But anyway, I had to do 4 talks in 4 days when I was there. And, you know, I lived a different life, because I'd applied myself so much to God's word that it wasn't me, it was him changing me. And I remember hearing a story about somebody who had just become a Christian. And her way of hearing God's word was to read through the Bible until she felt God spoke to her. And so some days she'd say, I was reading for so long before God actually said that word for me for that occasion. But as she applied, God changed her. God's word cleanses us. We are made clean by God's word. And if we're just open, just get into his word and let him have that effect on you by his spirit, because he transforms. So that was our invitation. And it goes on to speak of Diva, I've made him a witness to peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you
will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. And so we think of David's greater son, the Lord Jesus, and how people, how many people go to the Holy Land from all over the world have been because of him. So that he has fulfilled that. And then we go on to verse 6, and it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. I find, just put that down there. Isn't it interesting that God is calling? He says, seek to the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. I had an interesting experience. You know, this is... our God is a God of the unexpected. Well, I was going on my normal little walk, and I found a sort of like a quick way to come here, to come from Pagham to Bognor, and somebody had written in chalk, Jesus saves. Come on board. Which I thought was interesting. Come on board. Maybe it was a sailor who'd written Jesus saves. Anyway, but there was the invitation to see that Jesus saved, to come on board. But then the rain came and it disappeared. And unless they put it back, whoever was inspired to do it. But I thought this invitation is to the wicked. You know, the ones who don't deserve it. They don't deserve God to say, come to me. And the language of this, when he is near, that is the language of kingship, kinship, next of kin. God, as it were, is not saying, catch me if you can, but he's, as it were, with arms open, welcoming, calling to the wicked and the evil to come to him, to be his next of kin. Isn't that amazing? What an amazing God we have. And we would say, well, these people are write-offs. They don't deserve God's grace. They don't deserve. But he's reaching out to them. And it's a very interesting thought, the thought that when we come to God, we become his next of kin. So when you're filling your medical form, you can say, next of kin, Holy One of Israel. There it is. And then it says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not... No, sorry, I've said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. If we turn it around, sometimes we think we don't deserve God's grace. We don't deserve it. I remember years ago, I used to play football for the church team. And one day, it was a terrible day. The weather was dreadful. And I moaned and I moaned, all this sort of thing. And then the weather cleared up. And I played football. And I thought on the basis of my behaviour in the morning, I would have a terrible game. But no, miracle of miracles, I think I even scored a goal. And you think, I didn't deserve that. And our God is the God of the unexpected blessing, that we just can't figure him out. He's beyond our imagination. And when you think of someone like Paul, who was like the ultimate evil person, went against the church and everything, everyone was shocked when he came to Jesus, and Jesus called him. This is what Paul says. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. And this is the God that we serve. And this is the God who loves you. And as we go on, tell me to shut up when I've gone on too long, please. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and make it bud and flourish so that it yields seeds for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Verses 10 and 11 speak of a proclamation. And when you look at God's ultimate word, which was Jesus, and you realise how he didn't fit in John 7:31, how can the Christ come from Galilee? Does not the scripture say that the Christ will come from David's family and from Bethlehem? They'd made assumptions, hadn't they? They thought, no, you don't fit in. You don't fit in to what we think you ought to be. And so it is with God. He doesn't fit in. You know, it's quite interesting that Selwyn Hughes, in his book on revival, says this: no revival has been an official movement of the church. This is why revival always astonishes the church. It flares up where you least expect it, because that points to God, the God of the unexpected. And it's quite remarkable that Selwyn gives an example of how a revival in Wales, it started when a young girl of 16 stood up and say, I love Jesus Christ with all of my heart. And that was the start of the revival. That's God at work. And isn't that what we want to see? We want to see God at work doing his thing rather than our thing, that we don't put him in that box and say, no, you can't do that. What an insult when we restrict him. This is the God of the unexpected. And you know, as I think about the life of Jesus and how God sent him, he died on the cross, and I'm going to give you some homework, because I haven't got, how could God have said, I love you more than how he sent Jesus? How can you think of a better way that God could have said, I love you, than the story of Jesus coming. And so, and you will say, praise God, he's coming to the end. It says, you will go out with joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountain and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, instead of briars the myrtle will grow, and this will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. And this is exaltation, this is transformation, this is the language of release from captivity, of freedom, of liberation. And what do we have? You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. I once had a friend, and he described heaven as being an astonishment of joy. And we can have little astonishments of joy as God moves amongst us and in our lives. Those astonishments of joy. How did he do it? I don't know. We've just heard of miracles this morning, haven't we? How does he do it? I haven't a clue, but he does it. Astonishment of joy, and so much more as we go through this life into heaven. The astonishment of joy, and we will be led forth in peace. That's the language of relationship, transformation. And the weeds and the thorns are replaced by evergreens, life that will not end. There's so much excitement to become. And we will indeed have our own tale of the unexpected as we move on.
Thank you, Simon. That was amazing. 10 years worth of chewing over and reading Isaiah and bringing us the word. Thank you, Simon. Now let's just pray before we go into the last bit of worship. So, Father, we thank you for that word that Simon's brought. We thank you for your scriptures that bring life and bring hope. And, Father, we thank you for the unexpected joys, the unexpected bursts of you in the small things in our life, that we find you in the little things as well as the big miracles. And Father, I just pray that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to understand and to recognize the little things that you're doing in our lives, the little miracles, the little bursts of joy, the little ways you show us that you love us, as well as the big miracles that Rachel was talking about earlier. We love you and we thank you for who you are. Amen.
Amen. If you'd like to, please stand with me and let's worship together.
In the darkness we were waiting, without hope and without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt.
Praise the Father.
Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, free. the King of Kings. To reveal the kingdom coming and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation, Jesus, for our sake you died. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings.
Praise the Father,
praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. And the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was born, then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel and shall not faint. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the blood of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me.
Yeah!
Ooh, resurrection!
Praise the Father.
Praise the Father. Praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings.
Praise the Father.
Praise the Father, praise the Son, Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings.
Praise forever.
Praise forever to the King of Kings.
Praise forever.
Praise forever to the King of Kings.
We give you praise. You are worthy of praise forever. Thank you, Lord, for everything that we've learned this morning, Lord, everything that you've revealed this morning to us of your amazing, unfathomable, unimaginable love. Your ways are so much higher than our ways, Lord. And I want to repent of all the times that we put you in a box, that we assume, that we think that we've got it all taped, Lord. You have so much more to show us. You have so many, what was your expression, Simon? Astonishments of joy. That is the official collective noun of join, is an astonishment of joy. Thank you, Lord, for the astonishments of joy. I pray that we will be astonished this week with joy. In the name of Jesus Christ and all God's people said, amen. Bless you. There will be prayer down the front if you would like to pray about anything in particular. There will be coffee and tea and who knows what else we might be blessed with. What other astonishments of joy might be on the coffee table? Perhaps cake. Who can say? Bless you all. Have a fabulous week.